I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing you with a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there, an objective thinker, or a logical thinker, or a rational thinker, I'm here for you. Lots to get to today. I was got to say, good news for all of us that the one ship that brought international trade to a standstill in the Middle East has apparently been moved. They got it out of there. I was going to make some jokes about, you know, I mean, I haven't heard, but, you know, most of us just assume it must have been the first woman captain of a supertanker. Will that get me in trouble if I said that? Can we still joke about woman drivers? Even though I know many of bad male drivers. And then I was thinking, boy, I could really push the envelope here. What is the other group that has been ridiculed throughout much of the last 50 years for their poor driving skills? I don't think we can make fun of them anymore, at least not right now. That would certainly probably be enough to get me canceled, maybe run out of the country. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. We can't do humor anymore. Anyway, the ship has been moved. We're going to see. I was talking with some friends on Friday about some of the price inflation on some of the big commodities things. You know, that there was talk that the ship was going to affect the toilet paper supply again. So I don't know if everybody rushed out and snagged their toilet paper this weekend, but I thought, oh no, here we go again. We're trapped in some kind of perpetual Groundhog Day with the regulations, Europe shutting back down. Well, all we need is a paper toilet shortage in March of 2021, where I may just give up on the entire rest of the year, just assuming we're just going to continue this path of insanity. And speaking of insanity, I've got plenty of that today. My quotes of the day today. This one is from Charles Hughes Smith. He's a columnist, blogger, whatever. He does some very good pieces. He does a great job with the headlines, because even when I don't know he writes something, I click on every story he's done, and I go, ah, there he is again. He got me with the headline. But he writes some good stuff. He writes the Of Two Minds blog, but his name is Charles Hughes Smith. He said, borrowing a quarter of the nation's entire economic output every year to prop up an ineffective, corrupt status quo is putting a Band-Aid over a tumor. And he's right. We'll get to some of the spending stuff today. It's truly amazing to watch what's going on. But then I ran across this. Bill Maher is kind of, he does this leftist show. His audience will clap at anything he says. So he might be able to wake people up on some things. It's a shame he's turned into such a horrible leftist. For the longest time, he described himself as having pretty big libertarian leanings, but I haven't seen that over many years now. He's taken a pretty hard turn left, but I think he's one of these guys. Bill Maher is clever. I'll give him that. He's probably a very smart guy and very clever. Was a good comedian, but he's gone pretty hard left. But I think the left has pushed him out. You know, it's kind of one of those things where he didn't leave the left, but the left left him. The left took the left turn from the leftists that they were and left him, and he's come out against the cancel culture. And he did this in his segment the other day.
And looking at the economic factors right now, it feels like we're back in that headspace that we'll never run out of cash as long as the Fed doesn't run out of ink. I'm just saying, if we're going to do a new Roaring Twenties, let's do it this time without the two things that made the last one suck. Prohibition and a depression at the end of it. I am no money expert. I only turn on Jim Cramer to scare away the birds. But it does seem like the market is a little divorced from reality these days. It's odd that the real economy has been full of news of unemployment, bankruptcies, and going out of business signs since COVID hit. And yet the S&P is up 76% in that time. It can't go on forever. We can't all win. It's not the ticket machine at Chuck E. Cheese. A share of GameStop isn't really worth more than a share of Toyota. To bail ourselves out of that depression, we spent over 10 years, 6% of our gross national product. To get out of COVID, we spent in 1 year, 26%. The way we're handing out money, you would think it had an expiration date on it. In 2008, when the global economy was on the edge of collapse, Congress passed what was considered a massive bailout of $700 billion. So massive, over 100 protests broke out across the country. The Occupy Wall Street movement was born. Now, the word billion is so last decade. Congress has passed $6 trillion to fight the war on COVID. $2 trillion more than we spent to win World War II. You know, the big one? 4 years of desperate fighting against a murderer's row of bad guys all over the world and under it. Not to mention this thing was kind of expensive to make. All that. In today's dollars, $4 trillion. This, $6 trillion.
And he's got a picture of a guy just laying on the couch with his remote control, obviously streaming or watching TV. This is Bill Maher talking about this stuff. Maybe talking about the Federal Reserve is going to become cool. Maybe I was kind of a vanguard, a tastemaker here. I'm not a follower. There's nothing about this show that is a follower. If you listen for any period of time, you'll understand I do not follow anybody. I don't follow Trump. I don't follow Biden. I don't follow the political parties. And I've been talking about the Federal Reserve for 4 years, trying to do it without putting people to sleep. But maybe it's going to be cool now. That would be kind of nice. People to actually pay attention to the thing that is probably the most important thing going on in your life, and particularly in your children's lives, which is the endless money printing that will absolutely, if anybody remembers the fall of the Soviet Union, it was a pretty big deal in Russia. Even the war in Afghanistan that Russia had been fighting back in the 1970s really kind of paled in comparison to the fact that their entire society collapsed. Turned out to be a pretty big turning point in history, and this is what we're careening to now, yet we don't dare name the Federal Reserve because that's just too esoteric and academic, too boring to talk about. But like I say, maybe it's coming around. I did find this too on the financial front. Good news for Wall Street. The average Wall Street bonus rose by 10% in 2020 to $184,000 as the total bonus pool increased by 7% to $31.7 billion, according to annual estimates released today by the New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli. As soaring market volatility and a surge in underwriting generated a record bonanza for U.S. banks. So Wall Street bonuses rose by 10% in 2020 to $184,000. That's per person. Well, don't worry, little guy. They sent us all out, $3,200 if you total up the three stimmies. We got $3,200 in stimmies. Oh, and that we also get the debt. See, Wall Street bonuses were sparked by the endless printing of money that generated stock buying and Robin Hood trading and all the other things that create revenue for Wall Street and put $184,000 in each banker's pockets. We got $3,200 in stimmies. And we all got signed on to be the collateral for the debt that made it all happen. It's quite a little system we got working here. I actually have another quote of the day. When I come back, we're going to take a turn into another big story, the COVID vaccine. Be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
the vaccine rollout continues. I saw people getting buses together. People were being bused to vaccination spots. It's the vaccination issue is extremely interesting to me because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me when I look at it. And it's interesting because this is not an intelligence issue. I don't really know exactly what it is. I had dinner with several people Friday night, and topic of the vaccine came up, and I was the only one at the table that had not gotten the vaccine. These are very smart people. They are very accomplished people, people that have wildly more successful than I am, very nice people. I mean, there wasn't a dummy at the table. It's not an intelligence issue. It was just kind of interesting. And when somebody asked me if I'd had the vaccine yet, I said, oh hell no, something along those lines. And I just made a joke of it. I said, you know, somebody's got to be in the control group. If you guys all end up with tails and I don't, then we need a control group in society to know how this thing is since they're still testing it. And one of the people said, oh, you're one of them. Or no, they said, you're one of those people. And I said, yeah, I guess I am. And it's just very interesting to me that the idea of an untested vaccine just does not resonate with a lot of people the way that it resonates with me. And this is it's not an intelligence issue. It's not a worldview issue. It's maybe a suspicion of authority issue. I've told you I have oppositional defiance disorder, something along those lines, where if people that I do not trust tell me to do something, I'm immediately suspicious, and then my natural proclivity is to do exactly the opposite. But it's just absolutely fascinating. But there is another thing that is even more nefarious. There's nothing nefarious at that table of friends. It's just a difference of opinion. I would like to have had the conversation with them, to be honest with you. I'd like to say, well, I'm not really sure. Why did everybody want to go get a vaccine when the human immune system apparently is 99.8% effective against this thing, and you're taking a vaccine that's 95% effective, supposedly, against this thing? It seems like you're losing 4 points. But I know what the argument is. Well, yeah, but if I get it, I won't get as sick, blah, blah. I watched a video, and I may clip some of it. I don't know if it's for the health show or, I mean, it's such an overarching topic. It's this Geert Vanden, I can't remember his last name. The guy's got a resume as long as your arm for vaccination stuff. He is a pure advocate for vaccination. He has worked for the Bill Gates group. He's worked for the WHO. I believe he's German. He's been on the German. I mean, this guy is about as pro-vaccine as you can get, yet he is waving his arms and shouting off the rooftops, stop this mass vaccination situation. He's talking about the fact that these vaccines are going to create worse viruses that actually do kill younger people. And that's what they're seeing in Israel right now. They're calling it just a variant, but this guy who is he is one of the top immunologists and virologists in the world, if you look at his resume, and he is saying that these vaccines, it's not that they're going to make just the people susceptible who get vaccinated, but that it is forcing the virus itself to become stronger, more lethal, which is not the typical path of a vaccine. It got so oppressive, so overwhelming listening to him talk about that. And I hope he's just dead wrong, of course. But he was to the point of tears. And again, this was no anti-vaxxer. This is one of the top virologist, immunologist in the world who has worked with Bill Gates on all kinds of vaccine programs. He has not changed his mind on vaccinations as a concept. He's just said, this is the wrong approach. I had to turn the thing off. Because if he's right, we are going to have such a calamity on our hands. And as much as I like to boost my immune system and talk about the fact I haven't been sick, if they beef up this virus and turn it into something truly deadly, that may be one of the last to go, but I certainly won't be safe of this thing. And I can't imagine if we start seeing increased mortality in the way that he's talking, what kind of draconian lockdowns could be coming our way in coming months and years? This could take years to develop. I mean, if he's right, holy cow, what a colossal mistake. And the thing that's so aggravating to me, they'll never admit it was them. They'll just tell us that this was a natural variant. We never could have seen this coming. They will never be honest about this. Another man-made catastrophe in the making. But anyway, I couldn't even watch the thing because it just made me feel helpless. I'm obviously not stopping the hundreds of millions of Americans from lining up to get the shots. But I will continually speak out against this. I am watching with utter amazement the testing on children as young as 6 months old. Another quote of the day, Gary D. Barnett wrote, "Children are not fodder for the government and its criminal partners in the pharmaceutical industry to use for experimentation. Newborns, infants, and young children cannot protect themselves at all. They cannot opt out, they cannot fight back, and they cannot defend themselves from evil and immoral parents." And I am honestly to the point of struggling to figure out how to even do a show to a nation of adults, supposedly adults, that would lock children down for a year. A nation of adults that will allow experimental testing of a vaccine on children that does not benefit the children. I brought this up last week, but it cannot be understated. This vaccination experiment we are doing on children as young as 6 months old right now, and they are proposing newborn vaccinations for this. Just as your child emerges into this world and starts to develop its God-given immune system, we're going to step in with this synthetic messenger RNA with no earthly idea how that ends up turning out. And this vaccine does not benefit the children whatsoever. The mortality rate for children 19 and younger, the kids that are being tested on right now so that they can roll this out to every college student, every high schooler, every middle schooler, every elementary schooler, every kindergarten and every pre-K kid and possibly newborn, their mortality rate from COVID-19 as it stands right now per the CDC is 0.003%. We are experimenting on children for a vaccine on them that does not benefit them. It is to protect older people. We are risking the lives of children, altering their God-given immune systems because we are so worried about COVID. We don't want them to be the little diseased carriers, so we're trying to keep them from spreading it to us. It's not for their benefit. But I guess this is the same nation of adults, and I'm going to start air quoting adults in the studio here. It's the same group of grown-ups, of older people. I don't think we're acting like adults that will saddle our children with trillions of dollars of debt just to keep our own 401ks up and our own home prices appreciating so that we can enjoy the comfort of the American dream while we leave our children the American nightmare. So I struggle with how to even do a show because who am I talking to? Is it just a small sliver of people out there right now that see what we're doing to future generations? Because nobody seems to care. My first segment will be about the Federal Reserve, of which nobody seems to care. And then nobody seems to care about the fact that we are saddling our kids with just, we're putting so much pressure on future generations. And then we dare to criticize them. We dare to criticize millennials and Gen Zers, even though they have actually been abused. What we're doing to the kids with these pharmaceutical experiments should be a crime against humanity. And the people who are suggesting that they try out these experimental vaccines on newborn babies should be locked into a prison for the rest of their lives because they are true believers in experimentation. I've called Dr. Fauci the mini Mengele. And he is one of absolutely many, and shame on the medical community. But this is the same medical community that's got 500,000 kids under the age of 2 on antidepressants. Is it any wonder that I do a show railing against Western medicine every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. There's a lot to not love about this stuff. These are some comments that I ran across. I'm talking about this vaccination on kids. Quote, we definitely need to get kids vaccinated if we want to be as close to normal as we can, unquote. This is from Octavio Ramilo, the chief of infectious diseases at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Ohio. So you have got the chief of infectious diseases at a children's hospital saying we've got to experiment on these children so that us adults can become safer. And again, even for adults under 65, the survival rate is 99.97%. If that won't stop us, the fear of that 0.03% mortality, which is heavily skewed towards senior citizens that we're eventually going to die anyway. But even with that kind of survival rate, we still need to make sure that we experiment on these children to save us that 0.03% mortality rate. This man should be locked up and taken away from children. I don't see much difference between this guy and some other kind of predator. But this is accepted medicine in the United States right now. Here's another one, quote, it's hard to do that just in talking about herd immunity. He says, quote, it's hard to do that just in terms of numbers if you're not going to vaccinate kids. That's from Adam Ratner, chief of pediatric infectious diseases at Hassenfeld Children's Hospital in New York. So again, we're going to give kids an experimental vaccine that they don't need because of a bunch of unhealthy, largely obese and overweight adults who haven't been paying attention to their own health for decades so that we can feel a little bit better about moving about society and maybe we can mitigate down that 0.03% mortality. What, are we going to take that 0.03 and turn it down to 0.02 or 0.01 for 0.02% better outcomes for the fat, obese, sickly American adult? We're going to mass vaccinate with an experimental vaccine our children? Are you kidding me? This was a woman. This is a woman who is in Andrew Cuomo's administration. Let me get her name. Her name is Tracy Edwards. She is a New York Public Service Commission appointee, and I will just point out, not for purposes of appearance, but for purposes of what she's about to talk about, she's an obese woman standing at a podium trying to convince everybody to just go out there. Don't ask what's in the shots. Don't research it for yourself. Just go out there and roll up your sleeve. She apparently has had some cancer she's dealing with. Heart goes out to her. Sorry to hear that. But what she's trying to do is tell everybody, don't question any of these things. Just roll up your sleeve. Listen to what she had to say.
We must take the vaccine. Now, I'm going to tell you a personal story, off script. So today, right after this, I am going to have an infusion. And I'm going to have an infusion because I want to make sure that the cancer that was in my body does not return. I'm not asking what's in the infusion. I'm not looking up all of the ingredients in the infusion. I am sticking out my arm and I am taking the infusion. And that's what we have to do.
They applaud not being at all interested in what's going into your body. Just trust. And again, look, I talk about it all the time. If the results in American medicine were such that we were all healthy and happy and they'd had all these advancements, but our health outcomes are declining. You're noticing that? More diabetes, more heart disease, more cancers. This woman, and she gets applauded for it. I'm not looking up what they're injecting into me. I'm not doing any research. I'm just rolling up my sleeve and letting them jam some stuff in me. Now I'm going to let her keep going on to show how ridiculous this point is. And again, we're talking about people who have neglected their own health for decades. This woman is obese. They've neglected their own health for decades. And they're just waiting for some somebody to tell them, oh, go take a pill or go take a shot or go take an infusion. We'll make it all better. Or at least we'll stave off death for a few years for you. Don't question it. Don't do any research yourself. Don't take care of your own health like a personal chore. Just get as big as you need to get. Eat whatever you want. Get as big as you can. Get sick and then take whatever we tell you to jam into your systems. And Americans keep getting sicker. But this is a mindset that gets applauded at this press conference here. Andrew Cuomo's right behind her. I got to say, she's standing at a podium. I can't see Andrew Cuomo's hands. I think we'd all feel a little bit more comfortable if we could see Andrew Cuomo's hands when a woman is around. But anyway, she goes on.
Our communities take insulin, metformin, all kinds of, we can't line up at the drugstore so quickly because we want to save our lives.
So she's saying, yeah, our communities in the poor community, we line up to go get insulin, metformin. She's talking about these diabetes drugs. We don't question why so many of us have diabetes. We don't do anything to address the explosion of diabetes in minority communities. We don't change any of our habits to avoid getting type 2 diabetes. We just get diabetes and then we go to the drugstore and we just line up to buy these medications. We don't ask what's in them. And it is that thinking that has led her community that she's addressing right here, led her community to be so vulnerable to any disease, but in particular COVID-19 in the first place. Am I the crazy one here? And you have got them applauding a woman who is admitting that her own community has so badly maintained their own health that they're at risk of dying from something that for the vast majority of people is nothing more than just a flu. It's just a little sickness. But they have let their health slide to such a degree that this is a mortal enemy to them, something that could end their lives because they've neglected their health for so long. But now they're very serious about their health and tell you to go out and get the vaccine. They're all about health and safety and longevity and survivability, right? They haven't thought that way for obviously decades. That's why these communities have gotten so sickly. But suddenly now that Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson have come out and said you need to roll up your sleeves and Anthony Fauci tells you you need to roll up your sleeves, suddenly now they're all very health conscious. And it doesn't matter how much work I've put into my health, they look down on me because I don't get the shot. How dare you? You don't care about your health? You don't care about other people's health? This is bizarro world stuff to me. And the fact that she gets applause within this group of people for not researching what's going into her body, for not paying attention, for not questioning anything, just rolling up her sleeve, I can assure you this woman will continue to lead her community into disastrous health outcomes for years.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The last couple of weekends have been great, great for avoiding all major news. I have to do some of it for show prep, see what everybody's chatting about. But with the NCAA tournament. I talk about it a lot. It's my favorite sporting event of the year because I love to see young kids hustle and try to accomplish something. I think societally there's a lot to be seen inside these tournaments, these kinds of sporting events. I've talked before about the fact we should look at these as an example of white kids and black kids and tall kids and short kids and black coaches and white coaches all working together towards a common goal, and that's really what life should be about. But I couldn't help noticing something the other day. I was watching some of the Sweet 16. I watched the Arkansas versus Oral Roberts game, and then in the NIT championship game, Mississippi State versus Memphis State. These were, I mean, theoretically, these are big games, right? You know, you advance or die. In the Mississippi State situation, they were playing actually for the championship. So this is where they're pulling out all the stops, right? Players who are marginally injured want to stay in the game. If they're one of the top players, if they're one of the stars, they want to contribute. I mean, this is it. There basically is no tomorrow if you don't win this game. So these are important. But I couldn't help noticing that between the Arkansas, Oral Roberts, Mississippi State, and Memphis State, when I was watching it, out of the 20 players on the court, 19 of the players were black. This was in the final minutes of the game when it was most important. These games were, Mississippi State game was not very close. But the Arkansas, Oral Roberts game was close. I mean, this was do or die time on these things. Now, I just couldn't help but find myself saying, where's the diversity? There were 19 black guys, one white guy, not a single Hispanic, Asian, American Indian, woman, or transgender on the court. Florida State yesterday in their game, they actually had the word equality down there at the bottom of their jersey, names at the top, number, and then underneath it said equality. Yet for the second half, I did not see them put a single white guy in, not a Hispanic, not an Asian, not an Indian. I don't think there were any Irish, no Italians. No trans people until the last minute when the game was done, and you know they put in their second teamers. How exactly is that equality? What is the equality exactly that we're striving for? At least my definition of the word. Now let me be perfectly clear. It didn't bother me a bit. None of the makeups of the team. If out of the 20 players in the two games that I referenced, if 19 of the guys were black and one of the guys was white, my first blush of that is those are the best players on those teams. Now, they do a lot of substitutions. Some guys are better at some, so the coaches make decisions on. If you've got to get a big defensive stop, you put your best defensive players in. I don't care what color they are. Coach is making a decision based on merit every single time. Every player he puts on the court, he's putting there for a strategic reason to accomplish the goal, which is to win the game. I couldn't care less. I'm just asking. If we're told constantly that our strength is in our diversity, where was the diversity? I think this is the flaw in the left's constant harping on the ideas of diversity. Now, when people hear this, and there may be people who believe equality means just putting people into positions based on their skin color so that it's representative of the country. And we expect this out of universities, we expect this out of businesses, we expect this out of whatever else. I don't know why does it not apply to sports teams? If the idea is, I mean, are these coaches just too stupid to know that if they really would field a team and they didn't care about the talent, but they just made sure they had one Asian, one black guy, one white guy, one American Indian, and one Hispanic, that they would win everything because that would be the most diverse team? And so that would obviously be the best outcome. My point being, this is the flaw in the left's constant harping on diversity. The black players that were in these games were quite obviously proven to be the best, the most talented. And that's why they were in there. And nobody watching that game, I'm using it as kind of a societal talking point, but people weren't watching. Memphis fans weren't watching that game. White Memphis fans weren't watching that game and going, well, this is no good. I mean, they were trouncing Mississippi State, unfortunately. I was certainly cheering for the Bulldogs. But no white Memphis State player fan was sitting there going, I'm turning this off. I mean, they're playing well. They're 20 points ahead. They're about to win the championship game. But that field of players is just not diverse enough for me. It's an outrage. No. Fans want to see the best players. If you want your team to win, you want the best players. And yet you've got the left telling us that it doesn't matter to put the best anywhere. It's based on skin color. I mean, I found myself wondering, I watch these guys dunk. It's always been a dream of mine to be able to slam dunk a basketball. So much so that when I was a kid in junior high and high school, I had one friend who had a low goal that we could all dunk on. It was pretty pathetic, but it was a lot of fun. It was all we could do. But, I look at this and I say, how have we allowed the hoop in basketball games to retain that height? Do you know how many people you are excluding when you force this game to be played at such a high, and I actually mean vertical level? Wouldn't it be more inclusive to ratchet that goal down 4 or 5 feet? Do you know how many more people could be successful? Women's basketball. I'm sure a few of those girls can dunk, but it's not very many. Why don't we lower it? You get my point. If the goal is to constantly even out the playing field, which is what we're told is always best for society, they don't make any exclusions for it. They just say diversity is the best thing. Now, look, if you're marketing a product to the Asian community, if I start a business and I see a need in the Asian community, I think I'm going to get something out into the Asian community. If I don't hire any Asian people, that just makes me stupid. So as a business owner, business owners make decisions based on the same thing that coaches do when they field a team for a championship game. They just want the best people. But we're constantly told you can't do the best. When I watch a movie, I just assume, as liberal and as kind of almost socialistic, communistic as Hollywood has become, their dirty little secret is they're very capitalistic, aren't they? They spend a lot of money making movies. They need to make more money from ticket sales than they spent making it. Directors who do not show a profit, actors who do not show a profit, movie studios that do not show a profit, they go out of business. They're very capitalistic. That's kind of a dirty little secret of Hollywood. They're actually capitalistic elites in Hollywood, posing as social justice warriors most of the time. But I just assume when I watch a movie that decisions were made to cast stars not based on skin color, but on the commercial viability of the movie. Obviously, Samuel L. Jackson sells a lot of tickets. When they do comedy shows on Netflix, obviously, Chris Rock gets a lot of views on his videos. Nobody had to put Chris Rock in because of his skin color. But we're supposed to ignore all of these kinds of issues and just think that in larger society, if you don't hire enough of one color or another color, if you don't spread things out, if you don't even the playing field anywhere and everywhere, that somehow you're racist or you're doing something wrong. But the left is so wildly inconsistent about this. Again, Florida State's jersey said equality. So where were the white guys on the floor? Why didn't they get the equal playing time? That doesn't seem to make any logical sense to me. There's just so many lessons to be taken from the NCAA. You didn't know there was such a social commentary going on in the Sweet 16, did you? And then don't get me started on the coaches in their masks. I've never seen a more worthless, virtue-signaling, ridiculous rule. These guys get fined if they don't have their mask on. They're pulling them up, pulling them down, shouting, got it down around their chin most of the time. Yet they can't take it. They can't take the loops off their ears because even though they're doing something that is completely ineffectual, has absolutely no base, they are screaming. They're pulling their mask down to scream at their players. You go to church these days, they don't even let you sing. Yet he pulls the mask back up. If he's infectious, if that's the thinking, you wear the mask to protect other people. If these coaches are infectious, they're basically a bullhorn of disease. Because you watch them, they pull their mask down and then they shout at the top of their lungs for hours And then they pull the mask back up between shouts. And that is supposed to be some kind of a rule-following thing. My heart goes out to these coaches. I'm sure they know how absurd it is. But, of course, the NCAA is too stupid to realize. Or they just want to play the game so that nobody calls them out. I don't know what it is, but it is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. Just watch it if you haven't seen it. Not to mention the lack of hand wash. These guys are high-fiving each other. They're sweating on each other. How is it possible we have not seen basketball players just dropping like flies, just dead in the streets, out there with no masks, sweating on each other, huffing and puffing at each other's face, grabbing on. I mean, they're touching all the time, high-fiving each other. And then they come off the court. And in this particular series, they go up into the little stands way up there and sit all by themselves for the 2 minutes that they're down. Like, that somehow is effective. We are such a stupid society. Are we really this dumb? Have we allowed health authorities and politicians and bureaucrats to make us this incredibly stupid? Apparently we have. Oh, boy. Oh, no!
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we've only got about a minute left in this hour, so we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the border. Did you see some Republicans made their way down to the border? Smuggled out a little video footage and everything. The political theater was on full display this weekend, and I'm going to talk about that. Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, they all got down there, made some great points. Got to hand it to them. They certainly made some pretty valid points, and the media, for some inexplicable reason, is actually trying to harshly criticize the Biden administration. Something is afoot. Maybe they're planning on getting rid of him sooner rather than later. We'll see, but we'll talk about the border. And then Mayor Pete Buttigieg, I believe he's our new transportation secretary. Boy, has he got a harebrained idea coming. I tell you what. This 4 years, we're going to have our wallets wide open. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to call into the show today? We're going to talk in a minute about the Republicans got down to the border. Seems like it's quite a mess down there. The media is actually recognizing, and I can't figure out why. There's a reason, trust me. My spidey sense is going off. There's a reason they are covering this, because we know that they will just ignore a story if it doesn't fit with whatever they're trying to accomplish. So we'll see about that. I comment about something. I don't do a lot of social media, but I've been on LinkedIn before, and I follow a guy that I don't even know who it is, but he puts out little short videos on LinkedIn about these bizarre little products. I saw one this morning, and he put out, they actually have an app now where you can take a Rubik's Cube and take pictures of all sides of it and load it up into this app and then set your phone down and push play, and it'll tell you how to solve the Rubik's Cube. I mean, it's just... But a lot of the things are more more useful than that. And I love innovation stuff. This is why I'm an unabashed capitalist. Now, what we have right now in the United States is it's not capitalism. I wish more people understood that. We haven't had true capitalism in this country probably for 100 years, but it just keeps getting further and further away from true capitalism. In true capitalism, you don't bail out the banks when they make bad bets and take huge risks that go wrong. You let them go under. That's capitalism. Most of you small business owners out there understand the forces of capitalism, don't you? Because there's nobody there to bail you out. But when it comes to these kinds of innovations, I'm a big Shark Tank watcher. I enjoy that show. Tried to kind of raise my kids on Shark Tank a little bit. We used to watch it. There was a period in there of a couple of years where they kind of got into it. I was hoping it would ignite that entrepreneurial spirit in them, but they waned from it. I don't know if they're back or not to it. But I love watching Shark Tank because so many times people come in front of the panel of judges with these products and you just smack your head. You go, ah, of course. Why didn't I think of that? And it's just the best thing about human beings and this mind that we have got to think our way through problems, to ask why, you know, why doesn't this exist? Wouldn't this be helpful? And then to set yourself up to raise money or sacrifice and go out and develop something and try to market it and realize the American dream in real capitalistic fashion. It's really amazing. Human beings are capable of so much. And yet, yet we are ruled by people who just screw it all up. I cannot stress enough. This goes for charity stuff, too. How many feel-good stories do we see? The Cajun Navy down in Louisiana, and they go over into Texas and over into Mississippi when there is a problem. These guys with their bass fishing boats, they head to wherever people need them. They put in, even at risk to themselves, and they go out and rescue people. I mean, human beings are capable of so many great things. You see constantly something bad has happened. Someone sets up a GoFundMe page for somebody, and suddenly there's $70,000 for somebody who was the victim of an attack or something happened. Human beings rally to help each other. This is without any government involvement, without any rules, without any bureaucrats, without any policies or procedures for it. Human beings spontaneously solve problems and help each other. And it is truly amazing to watch and to think that that really is the potential of what the United States experiment should be. A bunch of people just left alone to solve our own problems and to help each other out. We would do those things. I don't think people think that we would, but if you look at the statistics on the United States, even Mississippi, in one of the poorest states of the country, we are known for our charitable giving. Can you imagine if we got to keep every dollar in our paychecks with the problems we could solve with charitable giving if we didn't first have to paid the extortion money to Uncle Sam? And yet politicians and bureaucrats step in the middle of that and tell you that they really know better. They regulate this or they tax that. And they say they'll take it from here. And we just look at the results that they've gotten. I don't care if it's the roads or the welfare system, the warfare. It doesn't matter. These politicians and bureaucrats, this class of people that has inserted themselves in our lives are screwing everything up. And they have convinced a large portion of the American people to choose one side of this two-party destroyer of innovation and happiness. A lot of you have been convinced to take one side or the other of this abomination. It's just a thought experiment. Just imagine how much more enjoyable life would be if we elected for President of the United States a ham sandwich and for Vice President a bag of chips. And Congress was nothing but condiments and cutlery, just sitting at those desks, doing nothing, saying nothing. Do you have any idea how great our lives would be? Now, they might still figure out a way for somehow, if the Democrats were the forks and the Republicans were the knives, the media might be able to get us to get on the fork or the knife side and say that the knives are really important and the forks are just, you know, whatever they would say. But by and large, if the Congress critters, if politicians, the whole political class would just shut up and sit down and get out of our lives and let the innovators, the productive people, and the compassionate people in our society just do our thing, I can't begin to tell you what a utopia we would live in compared to what we have right now. And all it takes is watching things like these little video feeds of inventive products. Watch an episode of Shark Tank and just think, wow, the creative mind of the human being could solve so many problems. Not forced to do it, but because they see a need and they think they can make a profit doing it, which is what their motivation is, which is the beauty of capitalism. As opposed to it, we've got a system where I started the show out telling you that Wall Street just got $184,000 bonuses. Bonuses went up 10% because of all the money that was printed up while Americans got $3,200 in three rounds of stimmies, which a lot of them took and put into stocks through Robinhood app or wherever else, which generated the fees that actually fattened the Wall Street bonuses. This is the system we've been corralled into. It is really quite astounding. So you will pardon me if I do not carry the Republican line on this show. I do not speak glowingly of politicians. I do not have politicians on this show. You can tune in every day to one of the other stations in this market, the WGOPs, as I call them, where they endlessly parade all of the establishment Republicans there to convince you how great they are and how bad the Democrats are. First of all, I don't need anybody to tell me how bad the Democrats are, and I don't want anybody to tell me how good the other political side is because it's just not true. But I'm just telling you the potential of people, and all it took to go on this little diatribe was just seeing a couple of little videos of just the true remarkable innovation of the human mind. It would solve so many problems. And it's not just here. India is known to have some very, very smart people. They come over here. They rule our universities. They win all of our spelling bees. Have you noticed this? I don't even think the Asians compete with the Indians when it comes to spelling bees. They crush it. Yet you go over to India and it's just, in many places, just a catastrophic mess. I can only assume that their political class gets in their way, too. It would be like this around the world, but we can't solve the world's problems. We were at least given the structures to allow individuals to be individuals and just be free human beings and get politicians and bureaucrats out of our lives. But we turned our back on that and decided that they know better because we fell in love. We fell in love with one party, one politician. We think if we just get more of them, everything will be solved. No, it's less of them. I would vote for a ham sandwich to be president of the United States in basically every election that we have seen over the past 50, 60 years, if given the choice. And I mean that with all sincerity. A ham sandwich would have done a better job and caused less trouble. And condiments and cutlery for our Congress would have saved us a great deal of grief over the same period of time. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, talking about voting for this political class of parasites that we have somehow empowered in our country. I did it too. I mean, I'm not without blame here. I apologize for the people that I voted for. The good thing is, with the exception of Trump in 2016, I have an unblemished record of not voting for anybody that holds any office. So you cannot blame me for anything for the last 15 years, 16, 17 years. Where are we? 2021? I think in I did vote for Bush in 2004, so I think that was probably the last vote I cast for anybody that took office. I saw they were talking about the Georgia election integrity bills that had passed. I watched a little bit of the Sunday shows, as much as I could stomach. They were, I guess the big thing was the poll, you know, people can't serve food in the lines and bring the people water. Only people that can do that are poll workers. Something. There was a lot of consternation about this idea. The only voting reform, if I could choose one, a lot of you say term limits. We need term limits. I tell you, term limits is nothing. Number one, you've already got that power. And we watch in Mississippi as you reject using it over and over and over again. So just like I told my children, don't ask for help if you won't even help yourself. Thad Cochran was known to be in very ill health heading into the next election. But what did Mississippians do? They voted for him. They didn't want that Chris McDaniels in because the Republican Party told us he was no good. You want term limits on somebody, but when you had a chance to get somebody who was in failing health out of the government at the end of a 30-year run, you wouldn't even do that. So can you quit whining about the term limit stuff? Because you can do that at any point that you want to. But the Republican Party has got everybody so hoodwinked. Again, I think I blame part of conservative radio for that. Not here on WYAB, but the rest of the WGOP stations. I heard some of them back there when it was Thad Cochran versus Chris McDaniel before I was on the air. And I heard them saying, well, yeah, Thad Cochran's been there for a long time, but he's real powerful and he's a good man and we need to send him back. I heard them. They would complain about Thad Cochran over the years and what was going on in our government, but when push came to shove, they convinced all the Republicans to line up and go vote for Thad Cochran, as well as some Democrats, if you remember that race. But if I could make one change to the election rules, it would just be a none of the above choice. I just think that would be fantastic. And if none of the above wins, the seat is vacated. Wouldn't it just be great to see the embarrassment on some of these politician faces when they can't even beat none of the above? If the American people, local, state, federal elections, if we could just say, we don't want any of you people, none of you, nobody is better than you. Because right now, largely we're always voting against the other guy, right? Well, our guy may not be great, but at least he's, you know, the lesser of two evils arguments. The thing we forget is that the lesser of two evils is anyone evil. Wouldn't it be great if we had an option to just say, you're not worth sending up there. I'd rather have that ham sandwich sitting in your seat for the next 2, 4, or 6 years than send you up there. And they would have to compete with none of the above. That would be absolutely fantastic. And it would be the quickest way you might get some people out of office. The Republicans did their thing this weekend. 19 Republican senators went down to the border. They got on gunboats and got out on the Rio Grande. Took a tour. It was very, very powerful image, wasn't it? And then God help you if you were between one of them and a microphone when they got off of the gunboats patrolling the southern borders. They said that they were willing to work on immigration reform with the Democrats. And they said, we've already had a meeting. We've told them we're willing to work on comprehensive immigration reform as soon as they are ready. I saw Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz and some other ones. And look, the border's a disaster. It is a disaster. It's a humanitarian disaster. It's a political disaster. It's an economic disaster. It's everything. And so the Republicans make some good points. I just find it cute. I find it cute when they go and do these things when they're in the minority. Have you noticed how much they ramp up the theater when they're in the minority? I mean, they had both the House, the Senate, and the presidency, well, all three, from 2017 through 2019, didn't seem to get around to really doing any of these things. But now that they're in the minority, they've got an issue. This is what's going to get them sent back to Congress. People won't remember that they didn't do anything about this over the last, 60 years. But now the Democrats are in charge, and it's a news story, and it's a catastrophe down on the southern border, which it has been for decades. Now they're down there fighting the good fight, knowing that they can't do anything about it. knowing that they won't be held accountable for anything because all they have to do is just go out and campaign on the fact, well, we take the border seriously, but those Democrats, you know, they're in control right now and there's just nothing we can do about it. It's like the spending. Boy, do they get energized, like little bunnies down there on the gunboats. The difference between Republicans and Democrats largely is that when the Democrats say they're going to do something, they actually mean it. They actually do these things. They're terrible things, but they do seem to rally around and get some of their worst ideas actually done when they're in office. That's not entirely true. There's a lot of progressive stuff. You know, Democrats pander to the far left, too, never actually give them anything they want. They give them crumbs, much like what Republicans give to middle-class people. They give them some crumbs. But the political class is the one that always wins. But, you know, I was looking at border issues and listening to the speeches by Republicans and Democrats and some of the Sunday shows, and what it just continually strikes me is that this border crisis lays at the feet of all of the politicians, both Republicans and Democrats. It lays at the feet of all of the citizens who voted for both Republicans and Democrats. Yes, you, Republicans, liberals and conservatives. The Republicans say, oh, it wasn't me. I want that border. You know, you want this, you want that. No, well, you don't really want border security. You say you do. You want a wall built, but you don't want to solve any of the problems that lead to this immigration. The Democrats put out a magnet for illegal immigrants, don't they? We're going to give you free health care. We're going to give you free food. We want to give you some social benefits. We want to make sure you get a driver's license. We want to make a real cushy life for you here. There can't be... Well, never underestimate the stupidity of our political class, but I can't imagine a worse policy than the Democrats saying they want to give free health care to anybody who just steps foot within the borders of the United States. Free health care. It takes the motto on what is the Statue of Liberty? Give us your tired, you're hungry, your whatever. It just sends, give us the sickest people you got around. If you're struggling with a medical bill in Zimbabwe or Portugal or Latvia, if you really are facing a health challenge, come on over here. We'll fix it for you for free. The taxpayers will pick that up. I mean, it's just one of the worst things I saw out of the Democrats when they were campaigning back in 2020. Gonna give everybody, it's just stunning, stunning stuff. So the Democrats put out a magnet drawing illegal immigrants to the United States. We know that. What most people don't see, and I'm speaking to a largely conservative audience, is the Republicans. The Republicans are actually on the other side, down there somewhere deep into Central America, pushing Central Americans and Mexicans up towards the southern border of the United States. So you've got the Democrats trying to pull them in, and you got the Republicans on the other side of them trying to push them into the United States through the drug war. Republicans support all of these policies that have created the narco state that is Central America and Mexico, where these places are wildly unsafe. They're very dangerous. You have open warfare in the streets. The police, the military, the government is all compromised by narco terrorists who get all their money from the black market, and that's what the Republicans support. So the Republicans are actually going down into Honduras. They're going down into Nicaragua. They're going down into El Salvador, and they're pushing all these people who are running for their lives. They're basically pushing them to the southern border of the United States through the drug war policies. And then the Democrats are up here trying to pull them in. And yet everybody sees, on the Republican side of things, you see this as just a Democrat issue. It's just them and all their stupid policies trying to draw people in here. Because we know what the game is, right? They're going to turn them all into their voters, and they're going to rule the government for millennia. Can you imagine if Mexico was a peaceful place? I'll bet you more people would want to stay there with their friends and their families. They might actually be able to set up honest industries down there if business people were not subjected to the terrorism that is from these huge narco gangs, these cartels. I played a clip last week. There are something like 20 different countries now. Many of the people fleeing for their lives and trying to gain entry into the United States are running from cartel violence in their cities. And Republicans, I don't know if it's just not ever explained to anybody or if you just refuse to see it because it's drugs is an emotional issue. And I understand that. But you're pushing them here while the Democrats are pulling them here. And so it always kind of amusing to me that nobody's actually looking at any real solutions. We're just going to continue to beat our heads against the wall, thinking that the political class in Washington, D.C. is going to get their stuff together and actually fix the southern border. Anyway, the Republicans were very energized about it. It was just really great to see, isn't it? It's good to see them fighting. I will say that. The Republicans do a great job in the minority. They're upset about the spending. They're upset about the borders. I'm sure there'll be other cause celebs of at least the next 2 years. Well, they'll really fight like hell, and then they'll be given back one chamber or the other, or maybe both. And then you know what they'll do? Nothing.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The Biden administration is pulling a familiar trick. Joe Manchin, known to be kind of the swing vote, a fairly, I guess you'd consider him what at least used to be called. I don't even use this term anymore. The Blue Dog. Was it the Blue Dog Democrats? We had some of them here. Wasn't Stennis? Wasn't he a Democrat? But he was a pretty conservative guy at the same time. Joe Manchin's kind of that guy. He's for gun rights, thankfully. So the Democrats are having to court him for votes. And so Biden's pulling out one of the old plays here. I saw a lot of consternation about this on conservative media. President Joe Biden plans to nominate Gail Connerly Manchin, an educator and the wife of Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, a key swing vote, to a regional economic development position after the lawmaker has emerged as a key swing vote in the chamber. The White House said Friday that Gail Manchin is Biden's pick for federal co-chair of the Appalachian Regional Commission, an economic development partnership between the federal government and 13 states, including West Virginia, where the senator and his wife reside. So that is Joe Biden handing out a cushy little position with, I'm sure, a fairly substantial paycheck attached to it to Joe Manchin's wife to, do what is essentially bribery. I saw a lot of Republicans pointing this out rightfully. It's pretty disgusting, obviously very transparent. The media is not going to make a big deal about it. This kind of thing happens all the time. And when I say all the time, I mean all the time. I didn't see Breitbart or some of these other conservatives talking about when Elaine Chao, Mitch McConnell's wife, was named to be transportation secretary. Now, at the end of Trump's term, I had heard a lot of people telling me that Elaine Chao was a communist Chinese agent. You know, Elaine Chao, when she quit the Trump administration after the January 6th protests, everybody turned on Elaine Chao and suddenly she was a Chinese asset. But nobody had any problems with, and Mitch McConnell was a bad guy. But for 4 years, Elaine Chao served as our transportation secretary. Trump supporters didn't seem to have a problem with it then until she showed the colors that she was made of the whole time. It's really funny to watch how people get stuff put over on them. And transportation secretary now is Mayor Pete Buttigieg, little Mayor Pete. He has got an idea here. They're talking about this infrastructure bill. I don't know what it's going to end up being, standalone itself, but $2 trillion and then another $2 trillion on social programs. Why do they even take taxes from us? I'm serious. I'm so serious about this. I mean, I've made this argument for decades now that taxation is really theft and they don't need it to run the government. They grow the government using your money. We're paying $600 billion just in interest on the money that they couldn't control over the past 50 years. and you and I are expected to pay the interest. Can you imagine if your neighbor came up, or your homeowners association? If your homeowners association came out and said, boy, we've run up a lot of debt. All you people are going to have to start paying the interest on this debt. Not us that ran it up, but, you know, you people, all of the homeowners out there, you got to pay the interest on this debt because we have run up a lot of debt. The homeowners in that neighborhood would just go, that's not, we didn't do that. That's on you. Go bankrupt, do whatever you got to do, but you ain't coming to my house and taking money from me because you guys couldn't control your spending. But when the federal government does it, we just go, duh, okay. But they're just printing up so much money, it's just become laughable at this point that you have to sacrifice out of your next check, you know, $348 or whatever it is, $2,000 if you're making a lot of money. You just see this money just ganked right out of your check and you just ignore it. You pretend it didn't happen. You just make your budget on whatever your take-home pay is. But it's just proven with this money printing they're doing, they don't need anything from you. They just take it because they can. Anyway, Mayor Pete, talking about funding the infrastructure bill, had this to say. He's got an idea on how to fund this thing so it doesn't blow a big hole in the budget.
Long-term answer. What about a mileage-based tax?
So I think that shows a lot of promise. If we believe in that so-called user pays principle, the idea that part of how we pay for roads is you pay based on how much you drive. The gas tax used to be the obvious way to do it. It's not anymore. So a so-called vehicle miles traveled tax or mileage tax, whatever you want to call it, could be a way to do it.
Yeah, so there you go. They're going to start monitoring your car. This is your federal government. This is in the United States of America, the freest country on planet Earth. They're going to start monitoring your car and charging you per mile. This has been seen as coming for quite some time. There may be places in Europe that are already doing this. I'm not sure if anybody has actually enacted this. Now, this is, as he mentions in there, I'm not sure what happened where he says that gasoline taxes aren't the way to do that. That's exactly what they do. And to do that, they don't have to monitor how many miles you drive. If you want to sit in your car, as many of us did when the ice storm hit, or if your power goes out, you sit in your car. If you want to pay to, you're going to pay taxes on the gas it takes to sit in your car. But now they're going to tax you by the mile. They're going to have to monitor your comings and goings. How much did you drive? We got to send you out a bill. And I'm not sure how that works either. I haven't really seen the mechanism for this. They're just kind of floating this idea to see if Americans get outraged. So let me begin to be the first one to stoke the outrage about this. How does this work exactly? At the end of a year, they tally up all your miles and then they send you a bill? Is this on your taxes? What do they do during the meantime? They just borrow money, print money up, just waiting on it? At least with the gas taxes, those things are constantly submitted each and every day. They bring in billions of dollars of gas taxes as they charge us, I believe it's 18 point something cents on every single gallon of gasoline that's used. That's kind of a use tax, you know what I mean? I don't actually even have as much of a problem with that tax because you can control it. It's a voluntary thing. You don't want to pay the gas tax? Get a bike. Walk somewhere. Don't drive or do this or that. That's why income tax is so nefarious, because you can't opt out of it. It's like a tax on breath. I don't want to say that too loudly. That may be what Bill Gates has got in mind, at least taxes on the exhale of the carbon dioxide. But when you stop and think about what the infrastructure that's got to go into this, what are they just, you go ahead and download your Fed app on your phone so they just monitor you every day, and I don't know, maybe every week they can just go straight into your account and just take out your gas taxes. Oh, we see how far you drove. Went to see your relatives this weekend, we see. Oh, that's going to cost you. So this is exactly the kind of thing we're headed for with taxation, and I don't know why liberals would be for that either. And again, I'm not sure why they have to do that. If you can just print up trillions and trillions of dollars, why do you have to raise gas taxes? Why do you have to do a mileage tax? Why do you have to do an income tax? If printing money works, and they're saying that it does because they've just done a massive amount of it in the past year, as even Bill Maher will recognize, then I'm not really sure why they're so intent on picking our pockets. I got to tell you, it just feels punitive. Kind of feels like they're just kind of punishing us. They don't need the money. They don't even really probably care if we submit it or not, but they do like the idea that we're beholden to them and that they can do it. And that seems to be the only reason they are. Speaking of taxpayer dollars, I want to thank Bart for sending me the article I do in just a second. I've talked many times on the show about the F-35. Well, this boondoggle, holy cow. He sent me a very interesting article about that that I'm going to read again. I'm still trying to chip away at conservatives and Republicans that every time an increased military budget, a budget for the Pentagon gets proposed by Donald Trump or anybody who campaigns on, they say it's supporting the troop, but what you're actually doing is supporting the military contractors, supporting the defense industry manufacturers. I'm going to chip away at that until maybe one or two people don't clap as loudly at the next Republican rally where they try to convince you how great it is that they're spending $1 trillion on the national security state, because I'm going to let you know where $1.7 trillion of that money went. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment here. I'm going to hit on this. I want to thank Bart for sending me this article. Over the years, I have criticized the F-35 program. In a lot of conservative circles, that's heresy to question anything that the Pentagon does. That's the beauty of America, is our fantastic military, but we all know it's full of waste, fraud, and abuse. I really wonder what our military budget would be if there was an actual, like an honest system. You know, our troops need something, and so they get that something at a reasonable cost. What do you think our military budget would need to be here? Maybe $200 billion? We've got two giant oceans on either side of us and friendly neighbors to the north and south of us. I mean, we've got such incredible natural protection as far as true defense. That's worth a lot of money. You know, a lot of places are always worried about getting invaded from their neighbors. Not so much with us. I think we can handle the Canadians. Right now, we're struggling to figure out if we can handle an invasion from the southern border. But people just cheer for these big budgets. So I've criticized the F-35 program as one of these just giant boondoggles. And I'll explain to you in just a second. I want to give you the nation's highest lobbyist contributions. You'll understand why this is done. A 2021 review of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter are in, and they're not glowing. On January 14th, 2021, then Acting Department of Defense Secretary Christopher Miller labeled the Joint Strike Fighter a, quote, piece of bleep, unquote. This is the Defense Secretary under Donald Trump calling the F-35 a piece of blank. Then on March 5th, 2021, House Armed Services Committee Chairman Adam Smith, a Democrat from Washington, called the program a rat hole and asked whether it was time to stop spending that much money for, quote, such low capability. Now, I wanted to bring out one part of this article here. It says the Joint Strike Force, Joint Strike Fighter, has become the embodiment of the DOD's broken weapons acquisition system, which has been on the Government Accountability Office's high-risk list since 1990. They're going to get on that any day now. Boy, if the Republicans, you know, these spendthrift Republicans now, if they ever get power again, they pinky swear promise that this time they're really going to rein in spending. Of course, they don't, because the defense contractors are huge Republican donors. Now, this statement in this story, and this was on Investment Watch blog, this story says the Joint Strike Fighter has become the embodiment of the DOD's broken weapons acquisition system. Now, I question that statement a little bit, because it's only a matter of perspective as to whether or not this system is broken, right? If you're the taxpayer, or if you're a fighter pilot and you really want a very capable next generation aircraft, you got to feel like it's kind of broken. So that would be your perspective on it. If you are somebody who is providing, getting the contracts for these things, this system's working just as it was designed to do. The program, this is for the F-35, has been under continuous development since the contract was awarded in 2001 and has faced innumerable delays and cost overruns. Total acquisitions cost now exceed $428 billion, nearly double the initial estimate of $233 billion, with projected lifetime operations and maintenance cost of $1.727 trillion. One plane. So it does feel broken to me from where I sit, probably for you too, if you're a taxpayer. It probably feels broken to the fighter pilots who would really like the best jet available with the best capabilities, which they probably already had, but they're not too keen on this F-35. It's broken to them. But if you're providing that, and originally you thought you were going to make $233 billion, suddenly now you've made $428 billion. That's not a broken system. That's not a bug. That's a feature of the Department of Defense's acquisition program. Now, I wonder if it has anything to do with this. They've recently come out with a list of the top lobbyists for 2020. It's led, I mean, this is a little bizarre, but it's led by Facebook. Facebook was the top lobbyist of last year, followed by Amazon and then Comcast. And really, if you think about it, that's social media, e-commerce, and the TV. It's pretty much the whole world to most Americans, so I guess they're trying to make sure that they're well situated. But after those, so it goes Facebook, Amazon, Comcast, and then the next top lobbyists for 2020 were, and remember this, next time you hear somebody say, we're going to beef up this military. We're going to increase military budgets to protect the American people. Let me tell you why they're doing it. Number four, Lockheed Martin. Number five, Boeing. Number six, Northrop Grumman. Number seven, Raytheon. And then number eight is Unilever. So in the top seven, four are defense contractors. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon Technologies. These are the top lobbyists. But you believe it when these Republicans or any politician comes out and tells you that they're going to spend more money, they're going to give the Pentagon more money because they want to keep you safe? Oh, it's just so easy to see this stuff, I think is why I bring it up. No one seems to notice. But your Pentagon does love you. They've put out a new report out of Bennington College up in Vermont that found that in between 2016 and 2020, the U.S. military oversaw the clandestine burning of more than 20 million pounds of aqueous firefighting foam in low-income communities around the country. Even though there's no evidence that incineration destroys the toxic, quote, forever chemicals, unquote, that make up the foam and are linked to a range of cancers, developmental disorders, immune dysfunction, and infertility. So they set up six of these little burn operations around the United States. This is, I guess, the sad, sick sequel to the burn pits in Iraq that our soldiers were stationed right next to and came back to the United States with things like they were calling Gulf War Syndrome. And the VA was telling these people, oh, we don't know what the cause of this is. Not our fault. We don't know what it is. People just get sick. And then 20 years later, after many of those soldiers died or had catastrophic life-altering diseases, they go, oh, maybe it had to do with all the hazardous waste we were burning in giant pits in Iraq right next to their tents. Oh, that Pentagon, that fine, loving department. I'm just going to go down in here and say 20 million pounds of this toxic stuff was done. Six incinerators were contracted to burn this stuff. Each of them was a habitual violator of environmental law. Since 2017, three of the incinerators were out of compliance with environmental law 100% of the time, while the other incinerators were out of compliance with environmental law about 50% of the time. They had one of these things up in Cohoes, New York, located within a densely populated urban area and less than 400 feet from public housing complex. They're burning these toxic chemicals right there. What's not to love? What's absolutely not to love? Now, you've not turned into some radical left-wing show. I'm anti-war. I'm anti-waste. I'm anti-spending. I'm anti anti-burning pits here in the United States, just like I would be anti-burning pits in Iraq right next to where our troops were stationed. You remember when Halliburton got all those fat Iraqi contracts? And there were some of our troops getting electrocuted in the showers. Anybody remember this story? Well, Halliburton's still getting plenty of money. They didn't pay any price for it. I mean, they might have got a fine here or there, just the cost of doing business, but Halliburton's just doing fine. Absolutely racked up on these things. That's where your big military budgets go. All of these increases, they go to these defense contractors is exactly where they go. Anyway, the F-35, I've actually got into a bit of an argument with a caller on this. He may be listening now. He was a nice enough guy. We just had a difference of opinion, but I encourage him to go revisit the words of what people are saying about this F-35. Look, I'm for innovation. I want to see us have the best jets out there. I just don't think we need to spend double what we thought we were going to, and certainly not if it's not an effective aircraft. That seems like a waste of money to me, but I'm supposed to be blinded by patriotism and support every single nickel that goes into the Pentagon because they've convinced us that that's what a patriotic American does. I'm patriotic. I don't do that. That's all the time I've got today. I hope you have a fantastic day. I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.